Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Decluttering podcast. I am your host, Amy Ravel.
And I'm your other host, Kirsty Perugia.
You're going to learn a little bit about us today. The episode is called Are You an Amy or a Kirsty?
And we hope that you are a you.
We hope you're a you. But we know that you know a lot about us in nearly 300 episodes of the podcast. And we do have people often say, oh, I'm just like Kirsty, or I'm just like you, Amy. So we thought we'd have a little bit of fun. One of our team members, Mona, said to us, why don't you record an episode on this? And we're like, you know what? Let's do it. But before we get into it, Kirst, we have some exciting news.
We certainly do. We hit 3 million listens a couple of weeks ago. And we're super, super excited. And we just want to thank you, our beautiful listeners, for helping us, well, for getting us there.
Yeah.
We certainly haven't listened to it 3 million times.
No. And some of you have listened to 300 episodes. So to those of you who've listened to every single episode, you need to give yourself a little pat on the back.
Yeah.
Next time you're at the shops, buy yourself a Chupa Chup and think, if Kirsty and Amy were here, they would be giving them either $1 to buy the Chupa Chup. So buy it and enjoy it from us.
Amy, we're also doing a promo around it too. So
declutterers. It's super fun. It's super fun. So because we reached 3 million listens, we like racked our brains. Like, what can we do to give back to our listeners to say thank you? Because it's your milestone just as much as it is ours. So what we decided that we would give away $3 million worth of vouchers to use towards our services and online courses. So what that looks like is we've created 150,000 $20 vouchers. So the awesome thing about them is you can claim one just by going to theartofdecluttering.com.au/3 million. And you can use the voucher that you download as many times as you like over the next 3 months. So you download it, you'll get a code. You can use that code to buy any of our courses and put your $20 towards that. And you can use
our $20 towards that.
Yeah, you can put our $20 towards that. And then if you want to book any services in person or virtually, again, you can use that $20 voucher against the services and have a gift from us as many times as you like over the next 3 months. Kirst, do you know, I'm not sure if you've been watching what people have been using their $20 vouchers on so far.
Everything.
Well, a lot of people have clued on, and I'm going to give this away as a hot tip in today's episode. A lot of people have clued on that our Simple, Safe and Successful online selling course is only $17. And so many people have got the $20 voucher and the first thing they do is buy that course because it's free. You're actually getting it completely for free. And maybe I shouldn't be telling you that, but I'm going to tell you that because what kind of friend would we be if we don't tell you when there's something you can get for free? And then lots of people have been using it to purchase our Christmas course, our 12 Days of Christmas course, because there's decluttering challenges for 12 days in there, and you can buy that for $7 because you can apply the voucher to that course as well. Mm. We've had people apply it to the paperwork course, to our Head, Heart and Home course, to virtual sessions, to in-person sessions. People are getting excited.
Yeah. We're going to quickly run out of those vouchers by the way things are going. We're definitely going to be able to give away $3 million worth of vouchers. So it's exciting.
Yeah. So just literally all you have to do is sign up. You'll get sent your code and you can use it once per transaction. So virtual session, $20 off. Any of our courses, $20 off. So get on it. The link will be in the show notes. And it's our way of saying thank you. You get a perpetual $20.
When does the 3 months end? Just so people, if they're listening in the future.
It's valid for all of March, April and May 2022. So anything that you pay for in that period, it doesn't even need to be something you booked in that period. If you've got a declutter session that you booked in January for March, you can use it. As long as you pay for and use the voucher in March, April or May 2022, the voucher's valid.
Yay!
Yeah. So thank you, peoples.
Yes, thank you.
You're awesome.
Yes. We definitely wouldn't be giving away $3 million worth of vouchers if we hadn't hit 3 million listens. Uh-huh. Thank you.
I did have a little bit of a geek out too, that during the 3 months where we have the $3 million giveaway, we'll also reach 300 episodes. And so I thought that was kind of cool that we get all our threes in together in the same 3 month period.
Yes, it is really cool.
Easily pleased.
Yeah. So, and it will be like the third of the third before this episode's released, but mm-hmm. after we've recorded. So that's another 3-3 for you, my
Excellent.
Friend.
Excellent. If only I was my numbers friend.
If only.
So let's jump into what else we want to talk about with the Are You a Kirstie and Amy? And we're going to go through a whole list of things where we do things differently, see things differently, have habits that are different, do organizing different, do decluttering different, because we just want to emphasize for you there is no one way fits all ever mm-hmm. when it comes mm-hmm. to decluttering and organizing.
Mm-hmm. And we really want to emphasize that it is great to be you. There's only one you in the world and you're the only one who can do you. So please enjoy this episode for the lightheartedness that it is, and remember that you get to do you and you don't have to do anything like Kirstie and Amy.
So Kirstie, I don't want to.
You can.
I don't want to do these in order. I'm going to pick the one that annoys me the most about your family to start off with. Do you know which one it'll be?
It's the pantry.
Your pantry. It really bothers me that you have so let's talk about what is a Kirstie is the walk-in pantry and the Amy is the practically no pantry. I use upper cupboards in our kitchen. And that ties into containers and plastics, that you use all different types of containers that don't match, that aren't the same brand, whereas everything in our house matches. So it really bothers me that you have this beautiful walk-in pantry and all the containers don't match. Bothers me somewhat.
Not all of the containers don't match. There are a lot that match. It's not like we've gone out and
one of each.
Got one of every single style. No, but yes, it doesn't match and we're okay with that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother Simon and I, and I think it shouldn't bother you really, yeah. my friend.
No, it bothers me when we talk
about
boundaries.
It.
Yeah, no, I never get to see your kitchen, so it's totally okay. But if it was mine, that's the bit I'm jealous of.
Yeah,
walk-in pantry that I would deck out in matching containers.
Yeah.
Should we stay in there?
Definitely when we bought the house, we didn't have a lot of money left.
Yes.
Just remember that.
Yeah. Well, should we stay in the kitchen and talk about some different things in the kitchen that we do differently?
Sure.
What one do you want to pick?
Well, Simon does the school lunches in our house because he loves caring for our children in that way, whereas your children make their own lunches.
Yes. No adult has ever made a lunch for a child in our house. And so that is very different. And both are fine. It's whatever works for your family.
If I had my way, we would be doing things like you. The other day Simon was away and my kids just got up and made their lunches. No questions asked.
Oh, they didn't even ask you to do it?
No.
That's interesting.
So they know.
Yeah, they do know. Here's one that I would like to be more like you with, and that is that all your bench tops are always perfectly clear and tidy and wiped down, and mine usually have a couple of bread tags, someone's phone case, an empty can of Diet Coke, breadcrumbs. We're just really not very good at keeping our benches clean every night, and whenever I've been to your house or seen photos, I'm like, oh, that bench. That bench.
Yeah, Simon can't rest and now I can't either. Like, you know, even heading out to my clients this morning, I could have left it all the dishes to be done when I got home this afternoon, but no, I felt compelled to do the dishes in the morning, and then the same before we hopped on to record this podcast, I had to wash all the dishes and do everything I could so that when I walk out of here tonight after recording, I can just put almost dry dishes away and sit down and rest.
Yeah. So
we try our best to just do things, just do it now in our house.
Yeah.
And I know you do too, just in different ways.
Yeah, that's right. It's not a deal breaker because nobody in our house cares as much as Simon.
Yeah.
I care a lot, but not that much. What about meal planning? I know we talk about that a lot in our Head, Heart and Home course, but how do we do meal planning differently? What's a Kirsty in terms of meal planning?
Yeah, this has changed over the years that we've been recording podcasts too. So Simon and I both do this similarly actually, but it has changed a little bit. But we both, when we go to do the weekly grocery shopping, we plan out the meals. So we think, you know, okay, we'll get chicken for one night, mince for another, you know, we'll buy a Mexican kit. You know, so we plan out the week, but neither of us are very strict of like Mondays is spaghetti bolognese, Tuesdays is tacos, Wednesday is a salad. So we're fluid like that, but we definitely plan our meals. Mm-hmm. And yours has also changed over the years
as well. We used to be a HelloFresh family and we used HelloFresh for all our meals. Now we have a chef. Now we have my beautiful father who's retired. We employ him as our chef. And so now meal planning consists of him dropping food off.
Yeah.
In fact, he popped over before. He doesn't come
and sit in your kitchen every night.
No, he doesn't cook in our house. He cooks in his own kitchen and then we get either Cal goes and picks up a hot meal. He's only about 15 minutes away. And so he'll go pick up the hot meal ready to eat or Pa drops it off. So, yeah, meal planning from our perspective is often we get a group text on a Sunday night and say, hello, family, what would we like to eat this week? And we all just send off some preferences and he turns up with what he turns up with. It's awesome, but very different to your house. That,
does he do that for other of your sisters or no, just you
they
guys?
They all do their own. My sister who lives in St Kilda would quite like to get in on the gig. However, she lives in St Kilda.
Too far away.
we're the only ones that have him working for us.
Serving you and caring for you in that way.
That's right.
Via monetarily means.
Yeah, that's right. We pay for his golf membership and a few things and he cooks for us.
So you let's pay talk for the food.
I do pay for the food as well, yes. Let's talk about the food. Let's talk about how Kirsty does the veggies in the fridge and how your freezer looks, because we do these quite differently.
Mm-hmm. So veggies in the fridge just get put in the veggie drawers. So we have fruit on one side and veggies on the other.
Do you just chuck them, like do you take them out of their plastic bags and then just let it all be in there together?
Or no,
do you,
they stay in the plastic bags.
Oh, really? Does it not go weird and yucky?
No, we go through it too quickly.
Okay, so you're not buying like a week and a bit's worth of veggies at a time?
Yeah, we do buy a week's worth of veggies.
Mm. And they stay fresh in your bag.
Yeah.
Hello there. So veggies are in the bags from the supermarket straight in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
In my house, all vegetables are in fridge smart Tupperware containers. and they all go with like their like breathing things. So mushrooms on their own, tomatoes on their own. We don't keep anywhere near as many veggies as we did when we used to cook for ourselves. So now, like, I love having a cob of corn for lunch. So we've often got corn. If for some reason we are cooking for ourselves one night, there's usually some broccoli and carrots somewhere in the fridge. But yeah, they always, we don't use our little bottom veggie section for vegetables. That's just where we keep apples because we go through a lot of apples and that fills the whole veggie drawer.
Mm.
What about your freezer?
Yeah, we do. We just keep everything in the packets that they came in. Like nothing's really taken out of packaging.
Mm-hmm. So if you have.
Not entirely true. Like yeah. We do separate out sausages. Like, so, you know, we might buy a 10 pack of sausages and we'll do put them in Ziploc bags of two each. So we'll have five. But that's probably the only thing that we separate out is things that we know we're not going to use all at once. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we might buy too many
burgers, or a heap of chicken breasts or something like that.
Yeah, but normally Simon doesn't normally buy in bulk.
Okay.
He only, like, you know, he'll buy one packet of chicken breasts, which will do us. He doesn't usually bulk buy and doesn't usually bulk cook either. He might bulk, the only thing that he bulk buys would be mince, and it's only like a kilo of mince, so that's only worthy of two bolognese sauces or three. But
wow, you can get three servings of bolognese out of a kilo
one
of mince.
Child doesn't eat bolognese and the other child will suffer, like eat it under suffrage.
Okay. That makes more sense. So our freezer, everything gets decanted. So except for something like ice cream, because that would be weird. But if we buy blueberries, raspberries, frozen peas, frozen vegetables, if we buy chicken nuggets, if we buy potato gems, they all get decanted into clear containers. And I find that that's super helpful because I like being able to open the freezer and see at a glance what we have rather than rummaging. And also we don't keep a lot in our freezer. So we don't tend to keep ice cream. We don't tend to keep any sweets or desserts. It really is just like fish, chicken, vegetables and frozen berries. So we keep it all in containers. You can see that I'm a very big container family and the fridges are less of a container family.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a Kirsty or are you an Amy?
Is your fridge upside down fridge freezer?
No, I can't stand upside down fridge freezers. It's a real pet peeve of mine.
I love them.
I can't stand them. I feel like if the freezer was at the bottom, we would never, ever use it. I feel like that so many homes I go into and the freezer's at the bottom and it's just a ginormous mess. Whereas when the freezer's at the top, it's easier to keep on top of. Whereas I find that the actual fridge is pretty easy to keep on top of because you're in it all the time. Whereas the freezer, you're in less.
Yeah,
which is the whole concept of the upside down because you use it less and it's prime real estate. But no, I can't do it.
Yeah, whereas I don't want to bend over for my milk that I use every day. I want that to be at hip height for me.
I'm pretty sure you're so short that you don't have to lean over in a normal fridge. That's a different way that we're different. One of us is short and one of us is tall. And everybody thinks it's the opposite way that it is because our podcast art, have a look at it next time. Kirsty's standing on a stool when she stands next to me. So she looks like she's taller, but she is most definitely not taller.
No, I am not. And I do have to lean over for the milk in a normal fridge.
Anything else in the, well, tell me, are you a sweet tooth or a savory tooth?
A sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm. And a if anybody has heard Kirst talk about the tea that she drinks, like I drink rooibos, green tea, black tea. Kirsty drinks like caramel, fudge, brownie, Lamington. Like even her tea is sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're all black teas, but yeah, I don't have milk in my tea. I have black tea, but they're sweetened.
Sweet ones.
Yeah.
And I'm a complete savory tooth. So I would take crackers and cheese and olives over almost any sweets except for chocolate. And then it also goes over into our preferred drinks, because my drink of choice is a Diet Coke or water, and your drink of choice?
Don't you think your Diet Coke is very sweet though?
No, it's not sweet. It's terrible. I would say it actually tastes like chemicals, which is exactly why people shouldn't drink it. But I don't think it's sweet. Like, I can't drink Coke because it just tastes like sugar. Whereas Diet Coke, I like for the bubbles, and it feels savoury-ish to me. Definitely doesn't taste sweet.
Maybe if you're used to sweet, really sweet, sugary stuff, then it doesn't. But I find Coke, I find Coke sweet.
Diet Coke? Coke.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? I find any form of cola. Whereas like, I can see Coke what you mean. Like, it's savoury.
Diet Coke is not. I would put it
they
more in a...
They all taste the same to me.
Yeah, okay. So it's just a
probably because I don't
taste.
Drink them.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't drink them at all very
and
often.
And I'm a complete Diet Coke snob. I will not drink Coke Zero.
Yeah. I think that's called addiction, not snob.
No, it's a snob because if it was addiction, you'd drink anything.
No, you have a Diet Coke addiction though.
Oh, right, versus a caffeine addiction? No, because I just would prefer nothing than to not have it.
Yes. Anyway.
Tell us about your drink of choice.
Moscato is my alcoholic drink of choice, and my non-alcoholic drink of choice is water.
Yeah. And Moscato is quite a sweet wine, isn't it?
100% sweet.
Yeah, because I don't drink very much, but when I do not choose Moscato. I choose a Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, no, I always... I go to the sweets, so like, you know, Madurian lemonade, like any sweet drink, give it to me, I will have it. Even drinking my nutritionist said, you know, if you want to do alcohol, do vodka.
Because it's got, what, no flavor or
zero
calories.
Calories.
Yeah.
But I find that hard to swallow. Yeah. Like, literally, even when I have it with a sweet, like I've got a sweet non-sugary like mineral water, which is flavored, but it's still like I can still taste the vodka through it, and I just don't like tasting the alcohol.
Yeah,
which you know shows that I actually
don't need the alcohol.
Yeah.
So what I'm drinking today is I did have a Diet Coke at lunchtime, and so this afternoon I've been drinking like we make our homemade soda water on the Soda Stream. And I just put 3 frozen raspberries in it. And even though frozen raspberries are quite tart, that makes it quite sweet. So now I have this beautifully pink shaded frozen raspberry soda water. And it's really yummy.
Mm-hmm.
Enough about our favourite drinks.
I can't do soda water. I can't, why? Like I can be, I just don't. I
is
don't
it because
like...
it's not sweet?
Yeah, it's and I don't.
Because it's a great savoury
really...
drink.
Like effervescence that
I do
the only time I can do effervescence is in a sparkling Moscato or like a really sugary soft drink like creamy soda, raspberry lemonade.
Oh no, gross.
I'm gross. A sweet tooth.
That's why we're different. Let's talk about our wardrobes. And how we're different. We want to know if you're a Kirsty or an Amy when it comes to folding your clothes. Kirst, tell us what you do with your clothes. We know we both have some that hang.
Yeah, most of mine. So I don't fold very many clothes in my own wardrobe, but in the kids' wardrobe, they are folded if I do it, which I don't do it anymore. But when I did do the kids' wardrobes, I would fold their clothes. And I love a good... KonMari fold.
Yeah, and Simon folds a lot of his clothes too.
He folds jumpers.
Yeah.
They're the only thing that gets folded and PJs because everything else of his is hanging up.
Okay.
Whereas I've come to the dark side and like my gym clothes are all just chucked in a bucket.
Oh, yeah,
and my half-worn clothes, you know, like my non-stinky but worn and worn every day until they become stinky, get chucked in a tub as well.
Hello, girlfriend. Because that the Amy is never folds anything. I literally don't have a piece of clothing that I fold, and nobody in my family has clothing that we fold. If it can't be hung, it gets tossed in a drawer, and it's the best.
The other difference that we have in our wardrobes is I've got a walk-in wardrobe and you've got open plan wardrobes.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I was like, how are you going to go there? We don't have doors on any of our wardrobes, and they're not walk-ins, so they're just part of the bedroom, because who can be bothered closing a door is really the bottom line.
Yeah, my children, not so much one of them, but one of them would be like, they have to have their doors on their wardrobe closed every night because...
Oh, because it's scary.
Something will come out of it.
Yes, yeah. But there's nothing for it to come out on when you don't actually have a wardrobe. You just have everything attached to the wall. Maybe no, the monsters go and live somewhere else.
Yeah. I think they would still think that it would materialise out of the back of the wardrobe.
Keep their doors on. Let's talk about linen, you know, then.
It's an irrational fear anyway, yes. So we all know that.
Yes, we do.
It's irrational.
Linen cupboard. I do not have a linen cupboard. And we have all the linen, like the bed sheets and stuff, live in the bedroom to which they belong. And we each keep our own beach towels in our bedroom as well. And the kids have a tiny little under the sink cupboard in their bathroom that keeps their spare set of bath towels. So one set on, one set in the bathroom cupboard. But yeah, linen in our family, in the bedroom where it belongs. But you have the ultimate linen cupboard.
It's not ultimate. It could be bigger.
Would it?
100%.
It's bigger than my whole house, the entirety of my – in fact, it's bigger than my suburb.
It's actually quite a small linen cupboard, walk-in linen cupboard, for a walk-in linen cupboard. Like if you're going to have a walk-in linen cupboard, ours is definitely not a big one.
Okay.
The biggest I've seen. But it is big. No, you can only – you couldn't get two people in there.
Really?
Yeah. I think
it's bigger in my head.
Yeah. Or maybe you could, but it would be playing sardines in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not like both of you being able to take sheets and towels out of there at the same time.
So all your sheets and towels live in there?
Yes.
None in the
bedrooms? We're going to have to make space soon for more.
For your new baby!
Which is called a pool. Imagine that. Oh, oh, wow. Oh. Let's... Yes, I'm excited about the pool and I would be rocking in the corner if I was pregnant.
The new baby's a pool, which means you're going to have lots of guest towels probably.
Yes. Yes.
That's exciting.
So it is super, super exciting. It's still a while off yet. People keep asking me if I'm excited about it. I'm like, I am, but it's also like several months off. So what did I say it to you the other day that it's kind of like being pregnant?
Yes.
Like where you're excited at the start and then you feel like this baby's never going to come.
Yeah, and then or, you turn around and you've got a three-month-old.
Yeah, and the same, like when I said the same, used the same analogy when we were building the house, like everybody else goes, oh, that went really quick. And you're like, longest build ever.
Well, why are we
and it
up?
Really wasn't.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
While we're up that end of your house, let's talk about the laundry and washing and that type of stuff, because we do this quite differently in our houses. So tell us about the process in the Farages and people can think, ah, I'm a Kirsty or I'm an Amy.
The adults are in charge of making sure the laundry, like the clothes, get washed and hung out. My kids have said that that's the one thing that they absolutely despise doing and cannot. But then, like today, Ollie got home and he needed his sports clothes washed and ready to wear again tomorrow. And I said to him, okay, come have a quick lesson on how to do the washing.
Yay.
This is what you need to do, because some days I will not be home in time to have this turnaround as quickly as you need it. So grab the dark clothes, put them all in, grab the detergent, fill it up, you know, the lid up with detergent, put it in, press play.
Done.
It's
like
really
dinner.
Not that hard, kid. Him and Amelie both hate hanging clothes. But then saying that, he also helped me take the clothes off the line today because we've got an indoor clothesline at the moment because we can't get to our clothes would end up being dirty with all the dirt that's being churned up in our backyard at the moment. So he took the clothes off and sorted them all for me and helped me hang the new load up. And yeah, so he might be coming around, but how we're different to the Ravels, because how does a Ravel family do laundry?
The children do almost all of it. So the only time that Cal and I put a load on or do something with the washing is when it's just kind of got backed up or they're out a lot with sport or something like that. But Jessie's responsible for putting loads of washing on. Actually, one of the things we do tend to do is hang the washing out, because he'll often put it on in the morning before school. And then we both work from home, so it's kind of silly to let it sit in the machine all day waiting for 3 o'clock when the sun's shining. So, yeah, we do sometimes hang it out. But then his job is to bring it in. Elijah's job is to sort it, and then we all just put our own away. So it's awesome. It's a really great little thing for the kids to kind of take responsibility for, particularly in a household where they're not learning to cook. I kind of feel like if I'm going to send them out into the world complete failures when it comes to cooking and they can just do eggs on toast and a few different things, then at least they're going to be awesome at doing the laundry.
Yeah. And our kids put all their clothes away. We just do that actual turning on the machine and pulling out of the machine. Although, like, you know, some days we'll say, kids, one of you pull the clothes out into a basket, please.
Yeah.
And yeah. Simon at the moment is frustrating me a lot because he will hear the machine go off and pull the clothes out into a basket and then go straight back into another meeting.
Oh,
and so
the
clothes
sit
in the sun. That streams into the laundry, but actually not getting dried.
So they just kind of get warm and musty.
And so I'll often come out at 5 o'clock and then go, there's a load of washing that needs to be hung up. I wonder how long this has been sitting here for. So and I know why he does it, because he thinks that it's going to stink. The clothes are going to stink less if they're out of the you know, into a basket.
And you can see them if you walk past the laundry, like, oh, there's a load there, rather than having to open the machine and have a look. I understand, but I also understand that's stinky.
Yeah, and frustrating, because he never hangs them up. Not never. Rarely do they get hung up by him until the end of the day at 7 o'clock as well. And that's okay. Whatever.
Let's change tact. Let's go with... when are you at your best? What time of the day do you love working at?
Probably
you're gonna say never.
Not the right type of, probably phrased wrong for the answers that we want to give. I get up early to go to the gym out of habit, not out of choice. I think if I could choose everything, it would happen after 11 o'clock in the morning and be done by 6 o'clock at night.
Yes.
So maybe not the working, because it just depends on the day when I'm best at work.
Yeah.
But if you could choose to sleep in or stay up late, what would you do?
I would do both of those things. I would sleep in so I could stay up late, and I would stay up late so I needed to sleep in. So I am definitely not an early bird. I am never setting my alarm before 8 because I don't have to. I don't operate very well at those hours if I don't have to. But my brain kicks into gear really well after dinner. So I find that of a night time, I'm quite productive and can think and be creative. So you might be an Amy or you might be a Kirsty. Let's talk about personality, Kirst.
I think people are going to be surprised by this one, Amy.
I think they are too. We're talking extrovert versus introvert. So in your mind, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, what do you think Kirsty is and what do you think I am?
I am an extrovert through and through.
Raving extrovert, I like to call her.
Yes, although I do love, not with my family though, like with my immediate family. I feel like I need a lot of downtime from them. But give me a friend and I could never end the time with friends.
Yeah. Whereas I would say I'm a confident introvert or an extroverted introvert. So I need a lot of time on my own, but I do quite like people. I just don't like them too much. I don't want too much time out. I find it really exhausting. Whereas I get energized by time just either by myself or with the four of us in my family. So see if you got that one right. One curse that you put on the list is, are you a Kirsty or an Amy when it comes to handbags? I have two, and the only reason I have two is because I usually only ever have one on the go, but I bought one that's quite small that can just kind of go, what's it called when it crosses over your body and it just, you don't have to touch it, whatever one of those is that you can
cross
put your
body.
Yeah, one of those that's not nice, that's not big, you can't fit a lot in it, but it's like the perfect, I'm going shopping, throw that thing on. So I have two handbags. How many do you have?
I have drastically reduced my handbags over the last couple of months, but I still have a lot.
Not a lot.
Like, not a lot compared to some of our clients, but I probably have like 7-8 handbags.
Okay.
It's more or than 10, me. Maybe. But that's a combination of like backpack, like versatile bags. So
I'm talking the same though.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of crossbody ones. I've got a couple of large carry-alls. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple that are small, and I've got a couple that are like going out with Simon or my girlfriends. Like,
nice.
And then I've got like some really like backpack type ones, camper ones. So, yeah.
Of the list, Kirst, of the Kirst or Ames, I want you to pick one more, and I'm going to pick one more too, because we could just keep going forever. And let's just pick.
No, let's go through all of these and we'll just do them really quickly.
Okay, yep, all right, come on. Let's do that. Doona cover.
I have one. I have many.
Yeah, it seems like it should actually be like top sheet, but we both agree that top sheets are a must. Absolute must. But doona cover.
But you don't have a cover, doona cover. You just use a doona and use a top sheet to cover.
Yeah, the reason is, I hate pushing on doona covers, and I hate it when they slide to the bottom, and I hate it when I roll over in the middle of the night and all I get is doona cover and no doona. And we have found that our life is so much better without a doona cover. The kids, however, still have doona covers because they're still of the age where, like, you know, they're just sweaty and gross and you need to wash them more often, whereas we often will go to bed showered and we don't have a doona cover.
Are you a shoe-on, shoe-off family?
I am a whatever you want to be family. I personally take my shoes off at the front door because I hate wearing shoes, not because I don't want to make mess or dirty. Whereas I know by the fact that I find shoes all around my house that my family choose at different times to take their shoes off in the lounge room, in the bathroom, in an office, in the bedroom. So, yeah, we're a whatever. Whereas you guys,
we're a shoe off family. You have to take them off as soon as you get in the door. Or,
is that from a cleanliness perspective?
Yes. Okay. That's so we don't have to mop the floors every night.
Excellent. Let's talk about our houses since we're mopping the floors. My house would be 70 years old, maybe. built in about 1950. Yep. So my house is old, old, old. It's not like bicentennial old, but it's old. And it looks like a old school 70s motel from the outside. It's a very ugly house. And that's okay. That's where we're at the moment. And yours is brand new.
Oh, it's 7 years old now. So that it's actually not
brand new. Compared to 70.
Yes, compared to 70, but also there's stuff in here that you can definitely date our house now.
Okay, yep.
By, like, the sinks and...
Yeah, backsplashes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of each gender in my children.
And I've got two boys.
And you've got two boys.
Yeah, so some of you will be like, that's not an Amy or a Kirsty. I've got eight kids, or I've got one kid, or I've got no kids. But that's how we differ.
Yes. Your entrance is on show. It's the first that you walk into a covered in veranda.
Yep.
And you...
It's kind of like a mud room.
Yes. On one half of it. And it's everything. Yeah, it's an everything room.
On one half of it, there's like the shoes, where you put your shoes, hang your bags. We've got like where the grocery bags go, where the sunscreen lives. We've got the bike helmets. We've got somewhere to sit and put your shoes on. Like it's that real mud room place. And on the other side of that room when you walk in is my office. So, Kirst, you can talk about your mudroom entrancey stuff as well as your workstation. So mine's completely open plan, which is not ideal, but it is what it is at the moment. And I can see out the front door. I can see the neighbours. We can hear the kids. Every time Cal grinds coffee beans while I'm on a phone call, everyone can hear it. So very open plan. Everything in our house.
Mm-hmm. Whereas our entrance, the entrance, we've got a front door entrance and you walk into a nice large-ish entryway, but the place that we enter the house is most of the time is through the garage. And then we have a linen cupboard of sorts where all the handbags and school bags and sports bags live. So everything is hidden away. And my study is often hidden away. People don't even realize that my study, they walk past my study because it's a door. As soon as you walk into the house, it's the door on your left. And my dad was here for days before he realized that there was a study.
Oh, that's gold. We'd lived in our house for about 4 years and my dad found out we had a fourth bedroom. That's the best.
Yep, that's one word for them. Yes, yeah, so and my study, Simon and I have both got our own offices in our house because we've got a five-bedroom home. So we get to – I've got the small study that is more like a baby's room. If you were designing the house, this would be the nursery probably, but it is also a study. And then Simon's got the
– Yours doesn't bedroom. Have a wardrobe, whereas Simon's has a wardrobe. It's an actual bedroom.
Yeah.
While we're talking about our houses and the different sizes of our houses, so bedroom-wise it's not that different. You've got a five-bedroom – is that five-bedroom plus study?
Yes.
I love that you had to count them in your head then. Oh, my gosh, I love that.
No, is it? No. It's five bed. No. It's it's a four-bedroom plus study.
Okay. Mine's.
I have lived in a six-bedroom home, so I was like, which house am I in?
That's gold. Yeah. So in your house, how many living spaces are there?
Four.
Four living spaces. Does that include it depends the dining room? So,
there's four spaces with lounges and couch and seats.
Yep.
So there's four spaces and
entertaining
and then a dining room space as well.
Okay.
So there's five entertaining spaces in our house.
Yeah.
Three of which are open plan.
Mm-hmm.
And actually four of them is kind of like it's not open plan, but
They're separate
no
spaces.
Door.
You could, that's right. Yeah, you could have people go and be in that space.
You, on the other hand.
We have one. We have one space that is dining and living and kitchen all in one. So not not that it's all in one, but it's like one room. And so just one living space. We've kind of separated it out at the moment to have two different seating areas, which means the kids can be gaming on one area and Cal can sit and read a book on the other. But at times that just all turns into one. It really depends on the season. So if you feel like you have a small house with no storage and no walk-in pantry and no walk-in linen cupboard, it's okay because there are professionals at the Art of Decluttering that get that. And if you've got a really big house and you are, you know, you've got the pressure of how do I furnish it? Where do I put things? Do I need several spaces? We all get that too. And I think that's part of the joy of us being so different is we learn from each other on what works in different spaces.
Yeah. Another way that we're different is I am one of five children and you are one of five children, but you have all girls in your family and we have a mixture.
Yep.
It was three girls and then two boys in my family.
Yeah, all girls in my family, baby. What about the paperwork? Because we differ a little bit in the paperwork and how we do things because I do all the paperwork in our family. Every single piece of paper that needs attention comes to me and that's my domain and I enjoy doing that and Cal does not enjoy doing it, so it's a perfect solution. Are you an Amy or are you a Kirsty?
Kirsty, who has a hybrid, Simon deals with some paperwork and I deal with other paperwork. He deals with more like the house admin stuff and I deal with the children admin. But even that's fluid. We're a fluid house here.
I like it. I think I'm going to call you out on this one. Let's talk about sentimental items because I reckon in about episode 3 of the podcast, like 297 episodes ago, we talked about your roof storage, that you had stuff up in the roof that you wanted to go through. How's that going?
Every time Simon's up in the roof, I ask him to get down my stuff and he chooses not to.
That's not fair.
So I still have sentimental stuff in the roof and actually it doesn't bother me. And
yeah, it's not in the way.
It bothers him. So I'm like, well, you're the one who's not getting it down. So it clearly doesn't bother him.
No.
And this is what we say to clients all the time. Like, you say that it bothers you, but it's still
your
happening.
Actions prove otherwise.
Yes. So maybe it doesn't bother you as much as you think it does. And same with Simon. I'm like, you haven't brought those down for me, so it's clearly not bothering you so much. Yeah. So,
and whereas my sentimental items live in a little lunch pail that I had in kindergarten in 1985 and they just sit on my dresser and it's a gorgeous little pail. So I would have kept that anyway, but it just has any sentimental things live in there and if it doesn't fit in there, I don't keep it. So mine's really simple, but it's also out so I could go into it anytime I like.
Before becoming a professional organiser, I was an accountant and a financial planner.
So you went to uni?
Yes, I did.
More importantly, did you graduate from uni?
Yes, I did.
Because I did go to uni. I just didn't graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be a Kirsty, a professional.
Professional.
Or you may have been an Amy. And I wrote under the Amy column, I just wrote a jack of all trades. I did so many different jobs. Office manager, PA, personal assistant, executive assistant, ran a small business, worked in a psychology clinic, worked at our church running the office, so many different jobs, worked at World Vision, worked at a few different charities, but never finished uni. I did a commerce arts degree, or I started a commerce
you
arts
got
degree.
Into, you got
I got in got... and did 18 months of a commerce arts degree and then decided that I do not learn by sitting down and people talking to me. I learn by doing. And so I went and got a job and started doing. And that's how I learned. So you might be a practical, need to be taught, kinesthetic type learner, or you may be fine with going to uni and getting a trade or a skill that way.
Mm-hmm. Did you also get married around that time? So it was convenient?
No, I did not. I was well and truly into the workforce by the time we got married.
Cool.
Well and truly.
I love holidaying away from home. Now, that might change when we get a pool and our backyard becomes a resort. But at the moment, I'm an adventurer and we'll get to that in a minute. And so I love traveling away from home. You, on the other hand.
I'm such a homebody. I love my home. And when we go on holidays, we are much more likely to hire an Airbnb and just pick up and be home somewhere else. We're not the type of family that goes on an adventurous holiday. None of us are really adventurers. We're like a day trip, go to the beach, go to restaurants and cafes. That type of holiday is much more refreshing for us than going to Dreamworld or going to a resort where you kind of like, we've got a kids club and then we've got this show at night. We're not interested in that. So we're very different in the way that we holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Enneagram to finish off today's episode.
Let's.
Some people will never have heard of the Enneagram, and that's okay. You can Google it. It's E-N-N-A. Let me try that again. It's E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M. And it's a personality tool that is quite old. And it's really, really helpful to understand yourself well, how you relate to others, how you relate to the world, what your motivations are. Kirst, what would you add to that? Because you're a massive Enneagram geek.
Yep, you've nailed it. It's good. Yep.
No, nothing else to add to that. Oh, my goodness.
No.
I've been hanging around you long enough. And there are 9 different personality types. And so we thought for those of you that are Enneagram fans, we would just tell you what our Enneagram number is, because they're quite different, which always makes for interesting times when you're in relationship with someone that's quite different to you. If you've got a housemate or a partner or a parent or whoever, it's unlikely that you're going to be exactly the same as them. And so you get to learn in the rub. Kirst, what are you?
I'm a 7, the enthusiast.
The enthusiast. Gee, often, what do you used to say? You say you're like Tigger.
Yes.
Jumping around, yes, wanting some interaction and pay me attention. Let's have some fun. Let's go on an adventure. Let's make this a joyful experience.
Yes.
I'm an 8.
Good description.
Which is a controller. Is that what it's called? The activist? I can't remember what the 8's called. You should know this.
I do, and it has escaped me right now. I'm going to quickly...
You quickly look for it.
Grab my phone and do... But yes, tell us more about...
No, I want you... I told about the 7, so I feel like you'll give a better description of an 8.
An 8 is... somebody who they can, particularly in women, they can be viewed as aggressive. And I'm just reading a website.
Can we find the good bits first?
which is funny because, I'm trying to find, the 8 is called the Challenger.
The Challenger, that's what it is.
So they are self-reliant and they like being capable and taking charge and taking on challenges. They hate failing. They have strong willpowers. They love leading people. They're charming and have a natural leading tendency. They also have a desire to control their environment and want to be able to care and protect those that they love. So
I think we need to have a social post this week. If you are someone who knows about the Enneagram, or you maybe have jumped online as a result of just hearing about it so briefly now that you want to know what number you are, jump in our Facebook group and tell us, what number are you on the Enneagram? Were you surprised by Kirstie being a 7 and me being an 8? Was there anything else in today's episode that surprised you? We want to know.
And if you know more about us because you've listened to 297 episodes or whatever we're up to and think that there is even more differences that we haven't spoken about today, because I'm sure there is. We just quickly prepared for this episode for 5 minutes before you hopped on air. Hit us up with all the ways that you think and any other way that you think Amy and I are different. We would love to hear your version of Kirstie and Amy.
Yeah. Which one are you, a Kirstie or an Amy? And... know that our team are all different as well. So it's not about one being better than the other. It's not about having only 2 types, that there's only Kirstie's way or Amy's way. There's a million different ways. We thought it would be fun to talk about ourselves. because who doesn't love talking about themselves? But yeah, be encouraged that there's so many different ways, and we want to learn more about you too. So if you do have things that you're like, actually, this is a different way of doing it, or oh, I could do with it someone coming in and helping me in the pantry, because I hate that my pantry doesn't match, but I want it to match. We're here for you, no matter what it is.
And don't forget to take advantage of our $3 million giveaway of gift vouchers. So have a look in the show notes. So if you're on your phone listening to us, you can hop into the podcast app that you're listening to us via, so Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to us, and scroll down on that episode and you'll find our episode notes. And if you are listening to us on our website, you can find our episode notes on our website, and you can click on the 3 million giveaway and you'll get sent the voucher that way, the code that you can then use on our courses or our in-person sessions or our virtual sessions. And we are uber excited about this giveaway. And another way that you could help us is helping us to reach 4 million quicker by sharing this episode with somebody, or sharing our podcast, talking to your girlfriend, talking to your mum, talking to your sister, talking to somebody about these two crazy Australians that you listen to.
We have enjoyed hanging out with you. A bit of a longer episode today, so thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for being our 3 million listens, and we will see you next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.